Don't know if you've heard about it, but there's this election thing going on tomorrow, the big midterms, and I can't think of a better guy to talk to them about. Brian Sobel is here from Sobel Communications in Petaluma. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Pat.
Well, either our lives are going to change forever and a day at the end of the election process tomorrow, or they won't. What do you think?
It won't. Life marches on. We're a big, broad-shouldered country, and whatever happens, we'll get through it. But tomorrow will be fascinating, and we will see whether we have a change in the House of Representatives in terms of who is in control. And that is the big race collectively to look at tomorrow.
Yes, it is. And if with your permission, Brian, I'd like to start local and work our way out, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Because there are some important things on the table for us tomorrow, including, several city council races and things like that. And also several measures, including Measure N. So there's Measure N and there's Prop 10. Let's talk about those.
Sure. So if you wanted to start with, Measure N, that's the Santa Rosa Housing Bond. And this is being billed as a housing recovery bond.
Yes.
And it's about $124 million. That is the number that will be part of the bond measure. And the thing to remember on Measure N is that has to be approved by two-thirds of the voters.
Uh-huh.
So it's a rather high bar. So for people who are interested in that particular measure, you got to get out and vote. And, of course, that's my theme anyway, Pat, through all of this, is it doesn't really matter where you come down on things, but you have to vote.
Absolutely. We are in sincere agreement about that. And I'm hoping that numbers are shattered tomorrow. And
absolutely.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
It would be. And the more people that partake in this democracy, this republic, the better off we all are.
And so Prop 10, from California's vantage point, is more about rent control than a particular housing bond. And, people across this, we all know how difficult and expensive it is to live in California. Might Prop 10 create some real change if passed?
Well, the summary is that it, state law currently restricts rent control policies, and Prop 10 means that state law would not limit the kinds of rent control laws that cities and counties currently have
right.
in place. That's important for not just renters, but also for landlords. There's a lot at stake here, and there's a lot of money involved.
And speaking of what's at stake, in depending on who you listen to, then a lot of people feel that this election is a referendum on what we want our country to be, and who we are in our own country. Would you agree?
Oh, I think so. And frankly, that happens every 2 years because we elect the House of Representatives every 2 years. But something to consider when people say, well, how will this play out this year? I say two things. One is that this is a hugely expensive election across the country. Just in California, five congressional races in California and Southern California where Democrats are trying to remove Republicans. Those races are all over $30 million a race.
Wow.
A congressional seat.
A race.
At this point. Just one race. Five of them down there, all hitting $30 million, one hitting $35 million. Big money is being spent. But then you have to go to the math of the thing, Pat, and I would remind listeners that over the past 21 midterm elections, so this is going way, way back, the president's party in office has lost an average of 30 seats in the House. So if you're looking at it on precedent, going back to William Taft in 1910, only two presidents have been successful in picking up House seats and Senate seats. Franklin Roosevelt in 34, and guess who? George W. Bush in 2002. And only three times in all those midterms have House seats been picked up by the president who's in office. And the other president who picked them up was the other president was Bill Clinton in 1998. So,
well, I think President Trump realizes that because he has really from the get-go sort of distanced himself from the House races in particular, knowing that that is probably true.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at the math of this, and we talk about this, by the way, every midterm about the history of the midterms. People like to change out the party, especially if it's the same party as the president. It's sort of the electorate's way of checks and balances.
Yep.
And so, you know, barring something really very interesting occurring tomorrow, one would expect that the Democrats will end up with the control of the House. Now, what happens after that, Pat, is a whole other story.
Yeah, of course. And then we've got the battle between the House and the Senate, of course. And would you, are there any surprises that you expect tomorrow, Brian?
Not collectively. I think the Democrats maybe a surprise would be this isn't going to be a huge victory, just my guess today, but it'll be a victory for Democrats in the House. Republicans will retain control of the Senate, may even pick up one or two seats. And then we will see how quickly the agenda of the House Democrats under, and will it be Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
We think it will be, but she is going to get challenged. But what starts occurring after that? Is the agenda going to be, let's kind of unravel many things that the president has done, maybe up to and including trying to impeach the president? Or are we going to go after Justice Kavanaugh? Or are we going to concentrate on things that will get us a president elected in 2020, and maybe all of that's in the minds of Democrats who are in leadership, all, you know, perfectly entangled.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brian, if I were a Republican candidate running anywhere in this country, I would agree with Paul Ryan and say, you know, I'd really love to be able to have been able to campaign on the economy because it's super strong right now.
Yes.
And the president is not letting me do that. And the president's got a point. I mean, there's not as much juice in running on a great economy as there is in the platform that he has chosen to take. But it's got to be frustrating for some of those Republicans.
Yeah, it's in as part of his platform. The economy is only one element. We don't have to go back too many presidents to William Clinton, who said it's the economy, stupid, and that generated a presidency. So, you know, it's interesting how you see the shifts that occur through time and what becomes important and what's important to a certain president. And as you point out accurately, the economy is sort of, for the president, to use a sports term, a gimme. I mean, that's what he believes, that's what he does well. And so he's got his focus on other things. But, you know, the world in many respects, Pat, has gotten so much smaller with social media and all that sort of thing that it's hard to be an isolationist anymore because the world is so intertwined with the United States, and we are with the world. So the problems that face a president today, whether it's Donald Trump or anybody else, are incredibly complex and international.
Is there an Obama effect, Brian?
We will see. This, I think, is one of the interesting sidebars of the run-up to the election here has been how involved former President Barack Obama has been on the campaign trail, and also former Vice President Joe Biden. And, of course, a lot of speculation inside Washington is that Biden's testing the waters for a possible run in 2020. And so this gives him an opportunity to travel through many, many states and many, many districts. And by the way, both of these people have traveled the United States extensively and know the political makeup of this country in terms of what is red, what is blue, and who's holding office.
Sure.
So this for me, is very interesting to see how involved they are.
So how about your prognostications for voter turnout tomorrow, Brian?
Well, every election, I hope that it's going to be, you know, 70% or some sort of thing. It never rises to that, or it has occasionally. But we're hoping for high voter turnout because not so much about how it affects the vote on an individual basis, but it shows that people are actively involved, that they have a stake in it. We've been given this great gift, Pat, and a lot of countries in the world don't have it. And so when you see 40-50% turnout, you kind of shake your head and say, wow, come on now.
Well, hopefully, I mean, it's got to be over 50. That's it.
Yeah.
In my mind,
yeah,
it's got to be over 50.
I would think it would be.
Yeah.
But I always try to, you know, hope for a lofty, you know, turnout.
Yes.
We have them in certain counties.
Yes.
Sonoma, as an example, you know, always has wonderful turnout. Marin, wonderful turnout. In the Bay Area, wonderful turnout. But then it starts slipping as it moves away from the Bay Area.
Well, we will see. It won't be much longer now. And for many of us, of course, the ads going away is enough reason to get to midterm election day.
I would think for 100% of us, right?
That's right. Brian, thanks so much for being here. Always appreciate your input.
You're very welcome. And get out and vote, everybody.
Amen to that. That is Brian Sobel from Sobel Communications in Petaluma.